Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
And I'm Molly Bay.
Coming to you a little bit late this week. Didn't get the All-22 podcast done at the midweek because both of us were feeling a little bad. So we just kept putting it off and putting it off.
We've got a small child, so our house is constantly battling the plague.
We rotate sickness.
Right. We all just pass it around. So, feeling better, but Ralph has had a chance to go through the All-22.
Yeah, I got it done early this week. I think I was done Tuesday, and I was excited about doing the podcast, but then one thing after another, and we weren't able to get it done until today, which is horrible because
Saints
nobody's
going to...
Saints
game is tomorrow.
Yeah, Saints game's tomorrow. Nobody's going to listen to this.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Last week.
Yes. Some interesting things from the All-22. I didn't notice this during the game as much, but I don't think Winston threw a pass more than 15 yards until the third quarter.
Whoa.
They were all very quick and short passes, which is a change from how we've been playing. We've got a lot of, you know, five-step, seven-step drops.
Yeah, and Dirk likes those explosives.
Right. Yeah, no, he was getting them out quick.
Well, that makes sense, too, because we had less passing yards than Carolina did.
That's crazy.
Or no, total yards. They had like 400-something yards. We had 300-something.
Did we have... we had like 200 and some passing yards, which is very unusual for us. But yeah, he was, again, very calm, made great decisions. There was four bad decisions he made, I counted. When I'm watching the game, I only saw one, but then watching all 22, you see a lot more. So there was actually four passes he should not have thrown or, you know, bad passes that he did throw.
What would you say his average is normally or as of late?
Well, between this game and the 49ers game, three a game. Because I think on the 49ers game, I only counted two. But normally, I mean, he's about 50-50. Oh. If he's throwing 40 passes, 20 of them where you're like, ooh, you shouldn't have done that.
Don't do that.
He has definitely. Yeah. Well, I mean, even the best quarterbacks out there have a couple of game.
Yeah. Like Drew Brees last season, I remember, was averaging, I think, about two interceptions a game.
Was he? He's not this year.
We'll
talk about that.
I know.
In the preview here, but Cam Newton threw a whole bunch of bad passes. He was just, well.
We were in his face the whole game.
Cam Newton is, if you want to beat the Panthers, have Cam Newton beat you, try to beat you passing. He just can't do it. He's inaccurate. He makes dumb decisions. You know, he doesn't have the best wide receiving core out there. So, you know, the best thing with the Panthers is always to try to get Cam Newton, but he looked especially bad passing in this game. And I don't know if you noticed, but the last play of the game, they took Cam Newton out and they put Heineke in. How do you pronounce his name? Heineke?
I don't know. Heineke? I don't even.
Heineke? Anyhow, they put him in for the last play of the game because the previous play, Cam Newton had thrown a Hail Mary and it came up 10, 15 yards short of the end zone. I don't know if there's something wrong with his shoulder, which probably is. I mean,
Ian Beckles said, that Cam does not look right. He had shoulder surgery in the off season, and he said, Ian Beckles just said, he looks like he's hurting.
Yeah, watching him in all 22, you could see he was just making dumb decisions and bad passes. But he does that a lot. But this was, it just looked like he was not playing well. It was almost to the point to where I was going to say that they lost this game. We didn't win it.
Ooh.
Just based on Cam Newton's performance in the passing game. But, nah, we won this game. We played a really good game.
But we forced him to have to pass it.
Yes.
So I would say that's on us.
Yes. And, you know, it wasn't like he was throwing it to our defenders. We were just getting tipped balls, and we made some great interceptions. You know, we were getting pressure up in his face. But, you know, that didn't start until the third quarter. The defensive line didn't really do a whole lot in the first half.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know who did? Levante David. Levante David was all over the field, and it's very strange. It was almost like they switched. And I don't know if Carolina just adjusted their game plan to get away from David, because he was killing them out there in the first half.
He's had 2 weeks of rest.
I guess
they're
that
resting
helps.
Up his knee, and
yeah, he really played good in the first quarter, and he got I'm going to talk about this in a minute. He got hit in the back by Ryan Khalil when he was going to make a play, and he hit the ground pretty hard when he got hit in the back. And from then on, he didn't seem to be as making as much of a contribution. But again, I think that Carolina just decided, hey, we're just going to try to avoid Devontae David. But it was weird because he played really good in the first quarter, and the defensive line was, they didn't play bad. They had a couple plays that were so-so. But the defensive line didn't show up until the second half.
Huh. I remember during that first, I don't know if it was the first sack on Cam Newton, but David came around there. Cam Newton didn't even see him.
I think it was a mentor.
And David clobbered him in the back.
Yeah, that was a beautiful play by David. He creeped up there and ducked down. They couldn't see him.
Yeah, under the line.
Yeah, he came around the corner where nobody saw him at all.
He had no idea.
Yeah, I wanted to screen that. Scott shot that picture of Cam because he's getting hit in the back and his head snapped back. And it was great. Loved it. Still walked away with his teeth, so boo. We did have 6 missed tackles during this game. That's too many. It's a lot better than last time we played them. I think we had 6 missed tackles per play last time.
Oh, yeah. There was that one run by Curtis Samuel. Yeah. There were 4 on that one.
The Keystone Cops play. Which, man, it's amazing how much we've cut down on that. That and open receivers. There was 1, maybe 2 plays in this game where there was an open receiver, and one of them, thank God Cam's a horrible quarterback because he didn't even see him. But we have just amazingly cut down on that. You got to give Duffner credit for that, and I'm going to give myself credit too because he's playing exactly the way I said he should have. We're playing a lot more man coverage, and our guys are sticking to him like glue, which we're going to need that.
I think it comes to the team is resilient, and I said this, I wrote that piece about firing Cutter, where I said it doesn't make sense to keep firing coaches, and I made the point that they're resilient, they keep coming back from stuff, you know, all this bad, like, the middle of the season, we played so bad, we thought it was over.
Yeah.
Team didn't give up.
Right, yeah, look, we've had a lot of drama this year, a lot of drama, but it doesn't seem, I mean, these guys are fighting, they're out there playing.
I know. Yeah. And now, I mean, 3 weeks ago, we would have been like, oh, yeah, there's no way we're making the playoffs. Now, it's like we got a 60% shot.
Is it 60%?
It's 60, yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
It was 5% 2 weeks ago.
I know.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Go figure.
Greg Allman every week puts up a
60%.
Does the calculus, and I'll talk about this later, about our chances and what we need to happen.
Okay. I'm excited now.
I know.
Devontae Harris, do we know who he is?
I think he came from the Saints.
He just popped up and just played great.
Did he?
Yes. He was all over the field. He had just a really good game. He was all over the place. He had pass defenses. He had tackles on Cam Newton. He had a lone tackle on Cam Newton that was just really good. Open field tackle.
I'm looking at our depth chart. He's our 3rd string cornerback.
Yeah, I've never even heard of him before. It's kind of like that Andrew Adams. It was about 3 or 4 games ago. Me and you were like, who is this guy? And then I look at him. He comes and gets 3 interceptions during
right.
this game.
Ties a Rondé Barber record.
Yeah.
And Aqib Talib.
Triple A.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you're tying Rondé Barber and Aqib Talib, you're doing something right. And I'm hoping it's not just he got the one lucky game going on. But I don't know. I'm happy with this secondary.
Isn't that so crazy?
It's crazy.
Look at all the turnover we've had on that secondary. And now they're just coming. And how bad they looked for so long.
Oh, my gosh. They were so bad.
Now they're just getting into a rhythm.
Yes. Well, and one of the things that's interesting, you know, when I do these, when I do the all 22, I write down good plays, bad plays, things I want to talk about during the podcast, keep notes on plays and all that good stuff. Normally, in each play, there's one you can notice. There's one somebody that does something good, or there's somebody that does something bad. It's usually just one person, though. Most plays are just blah. Everybody kind of does what they do, and nothing ever really stands out. But when something does, it's usually one person here, one person. But in this one, it was multiple people doing multiple good things on plays, which is what you want to see. You know, like Gerald McCoy doing some fantastic, it's really neat Hillman and JPP have been showing up in the third and fourth quarters like crazy this year.
I wonder if they get together in the locker room at halftime and kind of game plan and coordinate.
I don't know. Well, it's unusual for McCoy because, I mean, that's been one of the criticisms for him his whole career is that, you know, he doesn't show up in the second half. You know, I mean, most of his big plays are in the first half, but he had two great plays that led to interceptions in this game. And JPP was in on one of them, but it wasn't like Jerry McCoy is hitting Cam Newton and then the ball's just going up in the air and, you know, they're getting lucky interceptions. No, the Adams was getting great interceptions. I mean, these weren't easy interceptions he was getting either. So, you know, these guys are combining.
They're complementing each other,
yes, which is exactly what you want to see with the defensive line in the secondary.
And I think that's what we're seeing with JPP and Nassib, too. Those two on the ends together.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I want to talk about that later.
Again, I mean, you got to give Adams the game ball for his three interceptions.
He got three interceptions.
You got to do
that. No, he got three game balls.
Oh, he got three game balls.
Yeah, Cutter gave him three game balls.
But right behind him is JPP again. I mean, this guy is probably one of the best free agent signings we've had since, well, I would have to say Vincent Jackson was a good free agent signing, but impact player-wise.
I can't even think of one. Not since I've been here.
Simeon Rice.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's given us Simeon Rice style play and impact. You know, so, hey, good job, Jason Light.
That's a high compliment.
It is a high compliment. I mean, he shows up every game and he plays hard every game and he's there in the fourth quarter doing what he needs to do.
And I think that's what we've lacked leadership wise. We've never had a player that's continued to fight even when the team looks bad, when it looks like we're not going anywhere.
Yes. No, I would give JPP all the credit for this defense. I really would. I really like Nassib. He plays hard every down through the whistle, but the JPP just seems to be the more professional. He gets the job done when it needs to be done. I mean, Nassib makes great plays, but sometimes they're at times where it doesn't matter. But when the game's on the line, you can expect JPP to show up, you know, and that's the sign of a great player. You know, great players make great plays in great games. So, and when they need it.
We met him.
Maybe that's why I'm biased.
So we were missing two people this game, DeSean Jackson and Brent Grimes.
Yes, didn't miss them at all.
Didn't miss them at all.
We missed them on paper, not on the field. Yeah, I think DeSean Jackson, that's it for it. I think Grimes is going to play this week, this Sunday, but DeSean Jackson, I don't think he's going to play with us anymore. That's a shame. I hate that, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't think we need him that bad.
Yeah, he's ruled out for the game, DeSean Jackson.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, so switching to the offense a little bit here. Donovan Smith had two series, actually, where he just played absolutely like trash. I don't know what is up with this guy. You know, he rarely does anything where I go, wow, great play. You know, I mean, most of the time he does his job. Doesn't look like he does it with a whole lot of enthusiasm, but he will have series where he just stinks up the joint. And he did this in this game. In a matter of 7 minutes, he had five bad plays.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and in those 7 minutes, he was off the field half the time because Cam Newton's defense. But there was two series we ended up scoring. But it was in spite of him. And I think Jameis Winston does a lot of stuff in spite of Donovan Smith. You know, I've said that ever since those two have been in the league that, you know, Jameis Winston makes Donovan Smith look a lot better than he is. You know, if we had a pocket passer quarterback, you know, like Matt Ryan, he'd be dead.
No. Be a Sam Bradford case.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't have a quarterback that can't get out of the pocket because you're going to have at least two series during the game where Donovan Smith decides that he doesn't want to play.
Do you think it's a matter of him being on the field too much? Because he basically plays every down. And that's what Cutter says. That's a plus.
Yeah, that's
one of his positives is that he's playing all the time.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a play yet with the Buccaneers. And you know, there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, no, I just don't see it. I don't see him out there kicking ass and then getting tired. No, he just looks tired all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's not really that he's tired. He just doesn't play with enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
But other than that, Wester, have you heard his name?
No.
Yeah, it's a good thing. On offensive line, when you don't hear their names, that's good. And he's been subbing in for
Dotson. That's a big shoes to fill.
Those are big shoes. And he played well. He had one bad play. That was it.
Interesting. I wonder if everyone's just too distracted by Benenach and Donovan Smith.
Well, I'm going to get to Benenach. Since you brought him up, I'm changing my mind about him. I like that guy.
Do you?
I like him now.
Well, we this tweeted game. That picture of him bending that Carolina guy backwards, which was hilarious.
Yeah, number 96, Wes Horton. He just beat up on that guy all day long. There was that play, which was one of the most beautiful offensive plays we've had all season. That was the one where James Winston rolled out to the right and hit Godwin in the back of the end zone. It was a beautiful play on everybody's part. But, yeah, on that play, Benenach was blocking Wester, knocked him to the ground, and Wester was trying to get up, kind of. He was, like, moving. So Benenach decided, hey, I'm going to hurt this guy some more. And he just bent the guy backwards as he was trying to get up. It was beautiful to see. But that's what you want to see in linemen. And I'll be dang, in this game, if Benenach wasn't just mauling people. I mean, he was out there fighting with people, getting up in their faces.
Oh, my God. Well, that's how Jensen is.
Yes. And yeah, Jensen was playing a lot with him. And him and Jensen in the fourth quarter with 13-14 left, Jensen and Benenach ganged up on that 96 Wes Horton and blew him up three times. They knocked him to the ground, waited for him to get up, hit him again. It was beautiful to see.
That's hilarious because you always hear about Carolina's front seven. Yeah. Where are you at? Where were they?
Where were they? I know.
I was going to ask you that. What, I mean.
Well, one, Winston just got the ball out so fast. That's how you neutralize a tough defensive line is you just get the ball out fast. And he did that up until the third quarter. It wasn't until the third quarter that I clocked him holding the ball longer than 3 seconds. And so that neutralized the defensive line. They just couldn't get to him in time. But our offensive line played great. And Benenach, they were just mean. You know, Jensen is the type of guy, he's going to play through the whistle. He's going to get up in your face. He's going to hit you when you're not looking, all that good stuff.
I love that.
I know. And Benenach, I think he just needed the confidence. And he's out there playing good football now.
In spite of what everybody's saying about
him. Right, yeah. I'm listening to the podcast and everybody's still crapping on him. And I'm like, are y'all not watching this guy? He had one bad play in this game. Two, if you include a holding penalty that wasn't called on him, but I'm not going to include that. But he had one bad play, and that was where Dontaria Poe got to Winston first. And Dontaria Poe was Benenach's man. But the whole offensive line, except Wester on that play, just collapsed. Uh-huh. So it really wasn't Benenach so much. It was just Benenach was the first one.
It would have been somebody else.
It would have been somebody else, yes. Yeah, Wester was the only one on that play that didn't get beat.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Benenach had a great game, and you know he was subbing in with
Kappa.
Yeah, Kappa only played the second quarter, I believe. He might have played a little bit in the fourth. He didn't. They didn't switch out as much as they normally have been doing it. I don't know, but Kappa played well. But then again, Kappa was in during the Winston with the quick passes stuff too. But yeah, what I really, really, really liked about Benenach was he was out there playing mean. He got into a fight with, who was it? Let me go through these real quick. Yeah, there was the one, it was the second quarter with 20 seconds left. That's the one where Winston throws the touchdown pass to Godwin. Beautiful, beautiful play, but it was really beautiful watching Benenach destroy Wes Horton. I mean, he tries to get off the ground and Benenach, like, you could see him out of the side of his eye, see the Wes Horton moving. It was almost like he's seeing the, like when a terrier goes after a rat or something. It was just like he saw him. He was like, hey, just get on the ground. And he just went over to him and just, yeah, bent him completely backwards. We screenshotted that. You can see it in the corner. It was good to see. That's what you want to see from your offensive lineman. They got to be tough. And then in the fourth quarter, 5 minutes and 11 seconds left, Bennett gets into it with the linebacker, 54. They were pushing and shoving, got into each other's face. The linebacker actually took a swing at Bennett.
Whoa.
Yeah, and Bennett was like, whoa, are you serious? And he walked over to that dude, got right up in his face and was like pushing him as he was walking type thing. But Bennett kept his arms down to his side because by that point, you know, all the refs are watching.
Right.
Yeah, so he's like, I'm going to whoop your butt.
And I mean, he's huge too.
Yeah, Bennett's a big, Bennett's a big, big, thick guy. Then at 13-14 in the fourth quarter, this is the one where Bennett and Jensen just destroy Wes Horton. Three times. It's really neat. I want to make a gif of it and everything. Yeah, he just, they destroy him and he tries to get up. They destroy him again. He tries to get up and then Bennett just kind of falls on top of him. He's doing that a lot too. He's pancaking guys, you know, when the guys, and he looks like he's really enjoying it. So that's fun.
I don't understand how that's not a holding call.
No, you can fall on people. You just can't use your hands to hold them.
Oh, my gosh.
That's holding.
That's such a technicality.
Oh, really? I mean, heck,
literally holding them down with your body.
But you're not holding them with your hands.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the difference. Yeah.
So do you think that we game plan that way for Winston to get the ball out to avoid that front seven?
Yes, I do.
Interesting.
No doubt about it.
And then you kind of catch them off guard in the third quarter when you start throwing bombs.
Right.
Don't
expect that's
it.
Yep. That's exactly how we played. Yes. It, all these short, quick passes were designed for the first second quarter. It was just boom, boom, boom. I mean, we had these designed quick plays, and the receivers weren't even going vertical. You know, most of them were doing out routes and slants across the middle and stuff like that. We played the first half. We played the short game, which is very, very unusual for us.
Interesting.
And I think it was just to beat their front seven. So yeah, Bennett, I like him. If he keeps playing like this, I'm gonna keep talking about him every week because that's something I love to see with offensive linemen. We don't have enough of it. You know, these tough guys that get out there. You know, Jensen's really the only one. Marpet, great technical guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. Yeah, he's not gonna get in your face. He's not gonna be fighting with anybody. He's not gonna hit people through to the whistle. Nah, he does kind of, but he's just not a tough guy. But, man, if Jensen and Bennett can get that chemistry going that I saw today or saw in the All-22, Bennett was just mauling people. It was really good to see. It's funny watching him belly flop on guys because he's a big guy.
I would not want to be on the receiving end of that.
Now, let's talk about the refs. This is another game. I'm going to say this. Carl Cheffers, Barry Anderson, Mike Spanier, Gary Arthur, Greg Meyer, Eugene Hall, and Lan Clark. Have you heard of any of those people?
No.
Those were our refs. We get the bottom of the barrel refs all the time. I mean, it's because we're a bottom market team. Guys, if you want to have better games, start going to the games, get national attention for fan base, then, you know, we'll get better refs and we won't get all these crappy calls. There were 7 mistakes by the refs during this game.
Oh, my gosh.
4 were beneficial to the Panthers. 3 were beneficial to the Bucks. We had a missed holding call on Panthers, number 26 in the first quarter. And this one I didn't understand at all. It's called an illegal block above the waist. This was during a punt. And it's basically the same thing as block in the back. I don't know why they didn't just call it block in the back.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Yeah, I don't know what the difference is. The legal block, a block above the waist, I think, is only called during special teams.
Did you look up the penalty?
Yeah, I looked them up. And
it's an actual thing, though.
Yeah, it's an actual thing. It's called illegal block above the waist. It's basically you can't hit a guy in the back. So it's the same thing as blocking in the back. I know. But it was a bullshit call, and it was on Carolina. You know, they got screwed out of this one. The blocker put his hands up, and the Buccaneer guy ran into him. But it's, you know, it's just the punts and kickoffs are basically useless now. You can't have returns. Every time you do, there's going to be a penalty.
I don't even think they're good for like muffed punts that much anymore.
Not anymore. I mean, it used to be special team. You know, punts and kickoffs were a big part of the game. They're exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I usually don't even watch them. I'll go get something to drink or whatever. It was a good run back by Carolina. It was called back because of a BS call. The, you know, the the Buccaneer guy ran into the blocker. The blocker actually had his hands up because he didn't want to get called for blocking in the back. And the Buccaneer guy ran into him, and he got called for illegal block above the waist.
That is so weird.
I had to look it up.
Never even heard of it.
Then a couple plays later, 67, Ryan Khalil blocks 54 Levante David in the back, knocking him down. And then he fell on him with his full weight. And Ryan Khalil's a big guy. He's an offensive lineman, center for – he fell right on top of David. And right after this, David didn't really make any plays every game.
Right, so this is the one you were talking about earlier.
Yes. He just kind of was out there but didn't do a whole lot.
But should that have been a penalty?
Yes, it could have been a penalty. He blocked him. He just pushed him right in the back, and this was why it was
– oh, okay.
Yeah, David was going to make a tackle. He pushed him from the back. It was straight in the numbers, and then he fell right on top of David, belly flopped on him.
What was happening with the rest of the play? Was Khalil, like, blocking for somebody?
Yeah, well, he pulled out. Christian McCaffrey was coming around to the right. He got tackled by Kevin Minter and Jordan Whitehead, but Levante David was running over there, and it would have been a tackle for a loss. David was coming up, but David was Khalil's responsibility. Khalil pulled to the second level, and David got by him, and it pissed him off, so he pushed him in the back and then jumped on top of him.
A big lineman trying to chase after a linebacker.
Yeah. Well, David's just so good at avoiding blocks. And
Khalil wasn't going to win that one.
No.
Unless he cheated, which is what he did.
Yeah, David got right by him, just zoomed right past him, and Khalil was like, hey, come back. So he had to cheat. Then in the second quarter, 20 seconds left. This was one of the bad decisions. Bad pass by Winston. It was almost an interception, but the Panthers defender dropped the ball. It was right in the end zone. But right in front of them.
In front of the refs.
Yes, in front of the refs. And in front of this play, if you watch it, the 32 Rodgers is out for the pass too. And he's standing right in front of where Winston throws this pass. Now, I looked at this and I looked at it, looked at it, looked at it. And I was like, this is a bad decision and a bad pass by Winston, but I think he was trying to throw it to Rodgers, who was standing in front of Godwin. He was about 10 yards in front of Godwin. But here's what happened. 58 Thomas Dayton Davis pushes 32 Rodgers right in the back when Winston's throwing the ball.
How was that not pass interference?
It was blatantly. I mean, he just pushed him straight to the ground, and the referee was standing right there.
It wasn't within 5 yards?
No. Well, it doesn't matter. You can't do that. And Winston was in throwing the ball, and I couldn't tell if the ball had left his hand or whatever. Either way, it was pass interference or...
It wouldn't be holding.
I'm trying to think. What's the call where they interfere with him before the ball's in the air?
I think that's a hold.
No, I don't know. I can't remember. But anyhow, Winston throws the ball, and it almost looks like he sees Rodgers get pushed to the ground, so he kind of adjusts the ball as he's throwing it, and that's why it turns out to be such a bad ball. It almost an interception. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what are these refs doing? I mean, this was an open field push in the back to a receiver that's standing there looking for a pass. The guy just comes up and shoves him right in the back, knocks him to the ground. How they didn't see this, I don't know. It went over Rodgers' head, but of course it did because he was on the ground.
And also he's a tiny little guy.
He's a tiny little guy. But I don't know if he could have caught it. It was just a very strange play. But
should have been called.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Then we had in the third quarter, 10:22 left. How this was not a hitting a defensive receiver in the head call, I don't know. The Panthers defender actually lowered his head to make the hit. This was Humphreys. Humphreys went up for the catch, and he was coming down, and he turned around. He didn't get the ball. He dropped it. But as he was coming down, the defender lowers his head and hit Humphreys right in the face mask with the crown of his helmet. How was that not a penalty?
You know what, though, Hump? I think just absorbs all that and it makes him more powerful.
It makes him stronger.
He's a tough little guy.
He's our superhero.
Yeah.
Then we head to the third quarter, 8:36. Donovan Smith should have got called to hands to the face. And then 15 minutes left in the fourth quarter. First play in the fourth quarter, Benenock throws Mario Addison to the ground. I mean, he just throws him. But it looked like he might have held him. I think he might have grabbed
him. I mean, how
him.
Do you not hold him? Throw him to the ground?
Yeah. But it was hard to tell. I couldn't see. The way Addison Come went on. To the ground, you're like, that had to have been a hold.
I think basic physics would tell you that that has to be a hold.
I don't know. Ben Knox been throwing people, man.
He's, how do you throw him but not grab him?
Use your elbows. You... so we got screwed by the refs again this game.
But we won. Woo!
But we won. It's just, this is one of the things I hate about all these calls, you know, the hits to the defenseless receiver, pass interference, intentional groundings. They're so beneficial when they get called, and they're so hurtful if they're called against you. But they're also, if they're not called when they're there, you know, that's an advantage to the other team bigly. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a huge swing, bigly. It's a huge swing for in the game when you don't call these things or when you do call them. So, you know, if you're going to be, you got to be consistent with this stuff.
I think that's the knock on it. It's just so inconsistent. You never know when it's going to be called.
Right. Like pass interference is the most, you never know.
Or intentional grounding. We always talk about this one.
Yeah, intentional, which we're going to get Sunday. I mean, we're going to be so mad at the end of that game. We always are when we play the Saints because I'll be damned if Drew Brees doesn't throw three intentional groundings a game. But they never call him.
I got Rolf going.
Yeah, don't get me on that. All right, so that about wraps it up for the All 22. We played a good game. We won this game. They didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't lose it, but they did not play well. I mean, they were not playing as well as they did at the beginning of the year.
And they haven't been playing well.
No.
I think
Cam is hurt. But, you know, that's what happens when you got a quarterback that runs the ball.
Right.
You know, 30 times a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, without him, they're really nothing. I mean, they got McCaffrey.
Right.
But you can stop McCaffrey if you ain't got nobody else to worry about.
Well, and
now
then,
that Greg Olsen is gone.
Yeah. And their defense, I mean, their defense is good, but they haven't been making plays. I mean, they were on a turnover drought, too.
Yeah, they blitzed a lot during this game.
Did they?
Yes. The linebacker blitz. I do a lot of linebacker blitzing, but we picked them up. I'm telling you, our running backs do not get credit for their run blocking. I mean, their protection. These guys are great. Kind of great. Not as good as Cadillac Williams was. He's probably the best we've ever had. But they're good. And that's due to coaching. I mean, these guys are being coached well on their blocking. It's one of the knocks I always gave to Doug Martin was he wasn't good until he got a good coach in there that showed him how to do it. So, yeah, we picked up almost all their blitzes. It was very good. So, anyhow, that's all 22. Let's talk about what's in the news today. Are we going to talk news or we're going to go straight into...
Well, I only have one piece of news. It was kind of a slow week for Bucks news, but
good.
Gerald McCoy was nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. Huh. He's the Bucks representative this year.
That's good. It's about time. You know, Clinton McDonald was nominated for that every year. That guy did a lot of work with veterans and stuff in Tampa.
Vincent Jackson. He's big
and
on
Vincent Jackson
veterans.
Before him, yes.
Yeah. So
yeah, if you do veterans work, you're like automatically nominated.
Right.
But yeah, Vincent Jackson was big on it. And
he loves
I think
veterans.
He won it 1 year.
I don't remember.
Can't remember. But yeah, Clint McDonald was always nominated. After Vincent Jackson left, it was Clint McDonald. Now that Clint McDonald's gone,
McCoy.
I guess it's McCoy.
Yeah. And I don't know what he does.
But McCoy's always done a lot of stuff for the community. You know, he's got the...
He does a lot of the movie. Like, he rented out a movie theater 1 year for...
That's not for... Community. That's like charity.
Oh, come on.
Work.
That's like, I know, but it's fun. It gives back to the community. Come on.
Yeah. But McCoy's always been the, well, ever since 2012, anyhow, he's been the point for the Glaziers. He's been a point man on all their charity foundations and stuff like that. The glasses for kids and things. He's the guy that they always put out front. I'm not really sure about what McCoy's. Personal charities are.
I don't know. I didn't even look into it that much.
I don't really keep up with that stuff.
I know.
With players, but we got a lot of players that do.
Well, it just feels like such a crapshoot. I mean, you get one person from 32 teams. The Buccaneers don't get a lot of looks anyway because we're such a low market team. I mean, it's always players like J.J. Watt.
Right.
The
big name players.
Yeah.
So, the big name charities.
It'll be exciting if he wins. I hope he does.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well deserved. So
that was it for news.
That's it for news. Okay, so let's go into the injury report. I already talked about Deshaun Jackson's out. Isaiah Johnson with a concussion, he's out.
Oh, that sucks.
Justin Evans is out.
Really?
Yep. Carlton Davis is doubtful. I don't think he's playing.
Wow. Man, our secondary's taking another hit.
Yeah, so Greg Allman actually tweeted this. And said, we only have three healthy safeties for Sunday. Whitehead, Adams, and Shaw, who was like a fourth string. I didn't even know who he was. I had to look on our depth chart. But apparently, MJ Stewart can help at safety, which he's been out for a few weeks. He's a cornerback.
He's coming back.
He's listed on the injury report as questionable, but if Cutter's saying he can help out at the safety, it sounds like he's going to play.
That's not good, man.
Yeah. So, Damar Dotson's questionable. Brent Grimes is questionable. And JPP is questionable. He's got a knee, but he's going to, he's going to play.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's been playing with two knee braces on.
Right. Yeah, and Nanasib had the elbow brace on.
We look like a bunch of cyborgs out there.
That's what J.J. Watt does, though, too.
Yeah.
He's always good.
Well, J.J. Watt only plays half the year. He's always hurt.
Right.
I mean, great player.
Like Gronk.
Yeah, like Gronk. Great players, but if made of glass. In.
Right. The Saints, they've only got one person out, Tyron Armstead, a tackle. He's got a pec injury.
So what? They've only got one person out?
There were about four others on the injury report, but they're all full practice. They're playing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we're beat up. I am so excited about this game.
How are you?
I am because, okay, so Cutter said, somebody asked him, I think Jenna Lane actually, how different is it from we've played them so long ago, in week one, now it's week 14. How different is your game plan? How different are the teams from that first week to now? And Cutter said, well, there's not a lot of change scheme-wise from week one to now. On both sides. Scheme-wise, I think that's probably maybe true.
Not on the defense. Defense has changed completely scheme-wise.
That's how I feel. We are a completely different team. So you and I watched that game last night again, week one game. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at all the people. I looked at the defensive line. I mean, we had Golston out there. When was the last time you saw Golston on the field? He was, in a lot of snaps.
Yeah, he doesn't get that many snaps now.
Right, and I think Noah Spence was in that one. There was Chris Conte out there.
Poor old Chris Conte.
There were so many people out there that I'm like, wow, we haven't seen them in a long time. Fitzpatrick, that was his first game where he's lighting it up.
Right.
So it's just a totally different team. I think that we are so, especially the defense.
Yeah.
So different.
The secondary is totally different.
So different. So I think it is just going to be a totally different matchup. And
I think so too. Well, I mean, we had, like you said, there's Fitzpatrick, not counting the whole completely different defensive secondary we've got going on. We had Quan Alexander during that game. We don't have him now. We had Ryan Fitzpatrick playing, like you said, Deshaun Jackson, mm-hmm. O.J. Howard. Both of those were big contributors to that first week win. Right. All three of them, Fitzpatrick, O.J. Howard, and Deshaun Jackson, were big contributors to that win. We don't have them this time.
We don't. So I'm going to talk about each unit separately, okay. I think, because I have notes.
All right, we're going on to the Saints game.
Okay, so the Saints coming up. So this is compared to – oh, no. This is a little bit of both. So I've thrown in stats where the Saints stand in each of their units, where the Bucs stand in each of their units in the rankings.
Okay.
And then I kind of pull in the information from the first game. So kind of how we're different, where they excel, where we excelled. All right. So the Saints defense, number one in rush defense.
That's crazy.
How crazy is that? I don't know. I want to say it's similar to us where you get so far ahead in the points that people can't rush against you anymore. They got to pass it.
I think that's a big contributor, but I think their biggest contributor is that they're fantastic tacklers.
Interesting.
Yes, you do not see them miss tackles. They tackle totally different than we do. We go for the feet. We do this diving, twisting foot swipe thing. Or, we aim for hip and lower.
Okay.
These guys aim for chest. They go chest to chest. They're
trying to run through you.
Right. And they wrap up. You know, they hit you with their chest and they put their arms around you.
Who's their defensive coordinator?
Dennis Allen.
Who is that?
Well, he was the head coach for Oakland back in 2012, 2013, and 14. He was a defensive coordinator for Denver in 2011. He's been the defensive coordinator for New Orleans since 2015.
For 4 years?
4 years, yeah.
And I don't know who this person is. That's terrible.
He came in right after the whole Greg Williams thing.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. He looks like a young guy.
He's 46.
Okay.
So
whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper. It's crazy how all these young guys have just infiltrated the ranks of the coaching staff. I remember when coaching was, you know, if you were 60, you were a young guy in coaching. Seriously. I mean, they were all old.
Wasn't John Gruden like one of the youngest?
The youngest to
win a Super Bowl
and the youngest head coach and all that good stuff. I don't think he holds that title now.
No.
I think somebody else has got it. Probably McVay. I mean, what's he, like 23? He just got his driver's license. Before then, he had to have all the other.
His mom brought him.
Practice, practice lunch.
Okay, so this Saints defense, number one in rush defense, but they're number 30 pass defense in yards per game.
Wow.
We are 28th. So, woohoo!
In pass defense?
Yeah, for yards allowed, yards per game.
Hmm.
But they're 20th in points per game.
So, a good prediction for this is it's going to be a lot of passing.
Yeah, probably.
A lot of passing
and
yards.
So, here's what I'm thinking. So, if you're playing a defense that's number one in the rush, that really hurts you when you depend on the rush.
We don't at all.
So, if you're a balanced offense, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on your passing game, and that's how you can really beat a team like that that has a balanced offense. We just don't.
No.
So it's like, to me, I'm like, that's great for the Saints, but I don't think it has any bearing on what we're going to do.
No, I think they fashioned their defense to beat the Panthers.
I was thinking this too. So they've got the number one rush defense. So that really control. Well, that controls Cam Newton and McCaffrey, but also Winston
because
he's a scrambler.
Yeah.
And then they've got this high flying offense that can put up points to beat Matt Ryan.
Right.
So I think they've really tailored their team to beat the division. Yeah.
That's the way you do it.
That's the way you do it.
Their tackling on defense is second to none. I mean, they. I'm not sure if I've seen them miss a tackle, to be honest with you. It happens very rarely. And when they tackle, you stop where you're at. I mean, you're not going to get a whole lot of yards after one of them make contact with you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, for the first game, we had 112 yards total rushing.
Yeah, Barber ran pretty good against him.
Yeah, he had 69 yards, and then Fitz had 36.
You just never expect Fitz to just run on
right, him. Right, right. So there's that. And so they're thinking Lattimore, he's matched on Mike Evans, which I love this matchup because I think about a few years ago when Jameis like poked the back of a Saints helmet after a play. I don't know. But Lattimore turned around. Yeah, I think it was. And then Lattimore turned around and looked like he was about to swing on Winston. So Evans just comes out of nowhere and just clocks him.
Yeah.
And I think he got suspended for that a game.
Yes, he did. Which I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, everyone was all mad at him for it. I'm like, nope.
They're like, that's immature. And I'm like, no. Man, get out there and punch somebody in the mouth.
Somebody's about to hit your quarterback? No, I don't let that happen.
Just do it if you just don't like the guy. I don't care. You don't have to have a reason. This is football.
We watch football to watch dudes hit each other.
Yes, this isn't ballet.
Right. So Mike Evans had his second highest receiving game of the season against Lattimore. The first game he had 147 yards. So
man, I hope he does it again. I'm playing him in my fantasy.
He just torched Lattimore last game. And like you said earlier, DeSean Jackson had a huge game too. I think he had like 146 yards. Mm. So it was a high flying game. And remember this game, it was like 48-41 the score. So yeah. It was just ridiculous.
I think it was 48-23 or something in the fourth quarter. Yeah. They came back pretty quick.
Yeah, they almost came back.
Yeah.
We almost lost that one, but they just ran out of time. So,
but the reason why we won that game, I mean, they were matching us on points and moving the ball up and down the field was turnovers.
Yeah.
That's what we won. And Drew Brees does not turn the ball over. He's not a turnover machine, but we got two, I think, in that game.
Yeah, they turned it over twice, and then we had one fumble. Godwin fumbled it, but he recovered it. So we beat them in the turnover margin.
Right.
So that was good. But they are sixth in turnover margin in the league. The Saints are.
Positive.
So they do not turn the ball over.
Yeah, Brees has only got three interceptions all season.
I know.
And off the top of my head.
Off the top of your head. And we're 31st in the league for turnover margins. So, but we've been taking care of the ball the last few weeks.
Yeah, we've been turnover free the past 2 weeks.
Right, exactly. So,
that's not true. We Barber fumbled the ball on the goal line.
That was bullshit.
That was bullshit. Yes, I agree with your foul language there.
So, the Saints offense, they've got Michael Thomas, who is fourth in the league in receiving yards. Mike Evans, for perspective, is third in the league, and he is beating Michael Thomas by 1 yard.
Wow.
So
they got a little rivalry going on.
Yeah, and Michael Thomas torched us similarly to how Mike Evans torched them. He had 180 yards week one against us. So that was the second highest of his season as well. And I want you to guess who the first highest was.
The Rams.
Damn it. He cheated. He looked at my notes.
I looked at your notes.
So we're in good company, guys. Yeah. The Rams. So Alvin Kamara only had 29 rushing yards against us. He did have 112 receiving yards against us, so but we controlled him running.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. but as we talked about before, the defense, the Bucs defense, I think is really
it's going to
make
defense.
Or break this game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So I'm looking at the stats from week one, and it is crazy who showed up on the board. So listen to this. With tackles on our defense, David was first, Quan, Chris Conte, Vernon Hargraves, Justin Evans, Ryan Smith, MJ Stewart, and Carlton Davis. So they all led in tackles. Defensive line?
Where's the defensive line?
Yeah. Nowhere to be found. JPP did not, had no stats. He had no tackles that game.
Man, I bet if you go back and you look at what people were saying, they were probably like, JPP's going to be a bust. He didn't do anything.
Maybe. I don't know. But the way that he said he had watched the Panthers game, I'm wondering if he didn't look at this game too and like, oh, I got to redeem myself.
Well, New Orleans has got a monstrous offensive line. They always have.
And I wonder if that's it. Are their tackles just really good?
Yeah.
And we're able to hold him.
Yeah. But they've always had a great offensive line.
But again, our defensive line, so different now. They're so fired up. They're playing so well.
Yeah, Vita Vea, he's a handful, man. These guys, I didn't talk about him during the Carolina game, but they had to double team him almost the whole game because he's just strong. He has no moves whatsoever. I mean, a couple of times he's stunted, which we stunt a lot. You know, our defensive line stunts a lot. I wish we didn't stunt as much as we do, but we've always stunted a lot. And I think it's a lot because of McCoy. You know, he's quick on his feet, so he's able to move around a lot. So we try to take advantage of that. But Vea, you know, he's just a bull rusher. That's all he does. He just goes straight for it. And that's what you want from that position. You know, just move in and keep the quarterback from being able to step up in the pocket. And he's great at it. He's really doing good. And I want to see him. We didn't have him.
Yeah. Again, that's another one.
Against New Orleans. Yeah. It's going to hurt because Drew Brees loves to step up in that pocket.
Yeah. Well, here's what I noticed from the Dallas game is that their defensive line did a ton of spin moves to get past their offensive line. So it's doable. Mm-hmm. I watched two defensive tackles on one play. They both did spin moves. They both beat both of their offensive linemen and were able to get in there and get Brees.
Wow.
Yeah. That's one thing I noticed from the Dallas game is that Dallas really controlled the line of scrimmage with New Orleans. Like, their running back was not getting very far past the line of scrimmage. Like, there was always someone right there.
Yeah.
To get him down.
Yeah, Dallas played a very, very tough game. Very
aggressive.
Physical, yes. Again, they're good tacklers, too. So we got two good tackling teams we're going to be facing back-to-back, which doesn't hurt us because we're not dependent on
yards after catch.
Yards after catch or
the run game. Right?
Yeah. So, you know, good tackling teams don't really affect us that much.
Right.
Matter of fact, there's nobody in the league that can stop our offense. That's just how it is.
I mean, we're still top of the board.
Even with the past 2 weeks where we haven't been putting up the wizard numbers.
I think number two has caught up to us a little bit. Like, we might be 100 yards ahead of them or something.
Hmm.
Or maybe 50. Maybe 50. So anyway, it's and that's an average.
Hmm.
So I'm, like, really excited about this game, and I'm really optimistic that we can, again, beat the crap out of them.
Oh, there you go. You're jumping to predictions already.
I am. What else you got to say about the game?
A couple things that I think Saints are primarily a dink-and-dunk team. Drew Brees loves to throw to slant routes. Now, Drew Brees is probably the most accurate passer in the league. He throws to guys on the run. He rarely throws bad passes, but he throws them very, almost all of his passes are in the perfect spot for the receivers to catch the ball and run after the catch. They're very dependent on that.
Oh.
He doesn't throw a lot of long balls. He will. He throws down the seams and stuff like that, but just not often. They do a lot of stuff on the edges and the flats. Mm-hmm. They throw a lot of balls out there. A lot. Probably 60% of their passes are to the edges and the flats. They do all these out routes. They don't throw deep a lot. I mean, most of their passes are within 10, 15 yards. And like I said, it's the slants, the out routes, things to the flats, check downs to the running back, Kamara, which he's totally dependent on yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a question there. Do we guard against that? I say no. I say protect the back end. Don't let them throw the big passes because they will. If you let them, they will. They'll throw these long bombs. We can't have that. We've got to win the turnover battle in this game. And so the way we're going to do that is to make them throw the ball as much as possible. So give them those little short passes. Give them those slants over the middle. Give them the out routes and all that. Just be looking for tipped balls and opportunities to get interceptions.
But that's what we did against Carolina. Exactly. We controlled the line. You know, our defensive line was in his face pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. And when they weren't in his face, we controlled the pocket in the sense that we didn't let him get outside of it.
Right.
Contained him very well, which you don't have to worry about that with.
Right. Drew Brees isn't a scrambler. But I mean, if you're in his face the whole time, which is what we saw with Dallas.
Yes. Yeah. And put your hands up. Jerry McCoy pointed that out years ago. You know, Drew Brees is a short guy. He's hard to see over the line. So if you put your hands up, it just makes it harder for him. He doesn't have a low release, but because he's so short, it's considered a low release. And you can bat the ball down. So defenders, get your hands up. I think getting pressure on him, of course, is always a good thing. But against New Orleans' offensive line, it's going to be difficult.
And he gets the ball out pretty quickly.
Yes, and if he doesn't, he will intentionally ground it and not get called. But I would say just protect, and this is kind of what worries me. You're saying the safeties, we have a bunch of injuries in the safeties. We only have three safeties back there that can play if any of them get hurt. Anyhow, and they're not the best safeties in the world, which, you know, Keith Tandy got released from the Falcons. Why haven't we re-signed him?
We should pick him up.
I would love to pick him up. I don't understand that.
Ralph was so upset when we let him go.
So sad. The Candy Man. Tandy Man. Teeth Candy. Teeth, that's what I always called him. Teeth Candy. But Breeze is the master of ball placement. Getting interceptions with him is usually dependent on tipped balls. But our secondary has been sticking to receivers like glue. But Drew Brees can beat that. He will throw the ball even if the guys are covered, and he will throw it to where the secondary can't catch the ball. We're going to depend on tipped passes, I believe.
I hope that Andrew Adams can ride that momentum he got from last game.
Oh, you know, he's going to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Him and Devontae Harris was going for it, man. He was going for those interceptions, yeah. He actually had a play where he dove in front of the receiver for the interception and bat the ball down and missed it. And the guy caught it and ran for like 20 yards. Dang. But I did not knock him for that one. I'm like, hey, I'll
you're
give
there,
you that.
You're trying.
You are trying, buddy. Yeah. So I did not count that as a bad play. The Saints blitz their linebackers a lot. And so we're going to have to be careful for that. They do a lot of blitzing, and they blitz a lot. They do a lot of run blitzing. And if they see you're going to run it, they will blitz cornerbacks, linebackers.
Maybe that's why they're first in the league in rush defense.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. So we're going to have our running backs are going to have to be on point with their pass protection back there. Our offensive line, of course, is going to have to be pretty decent. But Jameis is just, he's difficult to get down. You know, he's kind of like Cam Newton in a sense. He's squirrely. He's not as big, but he's squirrely. Without O.J. Howard, DeSean Jackson, Fitzpatrick in the game, it's going to be a totally – but I don't think they're going to be able to stop our offense, and we're not going to be able to stop their offense. I think this is going to be a turnover battle. But, you know, we need to make sure they don't get these big plays on us, you know, the big – that they can just throw it downfield willy-nilly, keep it in front of us. You know, Mike Smith, he played that style. It worked week one. I think we should play the same style again, but more man coverage. We shouldn't play any zone. The Drew Brees just picks zones apart. We need to have man coverage and just it'd be great if we did more press. You know, bump these guys off the routes because they're very much into timing plays, these short dink and dunks. You know, if we could just slow them down a half a second, our defensive line might be able to get the Drew Brees. One way to beat the Saints, though, is to keep Drew Brees off the field. So I think we should do basically the same thing we did last week, is the same thing I'm saying to make the Saints do, little dink-a-dunk passes. Just keep the time of possession on our favor. Mm. You know, just move the ball slowly down the field. Don't try to score quick. Just keep it. You know, just keep the ball as long as we can, because when we do that, we keep Drew Brees off the field.
And that's kind of what happened the first half of the first game. Well, probably the first quarter. It was like back-to-back scores. It was like, yes, we score, they score.
They
we
score, yep. They score. Boom, boom,
you know,
boom.
So they can keep up with you score-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you just can't give them that opportunity.
Right. That's why I say give them the stuff underneath, man. Just give them that stuff all day long. And then when they catch the ball, try to pop it out for a fumble, you know.
Oh, and I'll also say the first game we saw Chandler Catanzaro's first field goal miss. We had in the fourth quarter.
Oh,
we were
right.
up 48-41 or something.
That's right. We could have put 51 points.
Yeah, we could have put the game away if he had made it. It was like a 44-yarder.
Oh, he is with the Panthers.
I know. I was just about to say that. The Panthers just signed him this week, which is funny. Did they get rid of Graham Gano?
He's hurt.
Oh.
Hamstring.
So they probably pull in Chandler so they can get, well, it won't help them to get information on us because we don't play them anymore.
We're done with the Panthers this year?
We are. Okay. And listen to this. The Saints haven't played the Panthers at all.
Right.
They played them twice in the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, so they play them. The Saints play them next week.
That's advantage to Saints because Panthers are
beat up
and whooping, yeah.
And I mean, those two have been in the last few years the contenders for the division. I think it's kind of flip flopped every year with those two leading the division.
One thing we got to do is stop Kamara from being able to run up the middle. We're pretty decent against run defense, especially up the middle. But if he can run it up the middle, that just adds a whole new dimension to their game. And almost every game I've seen them win, he's been able to run up the middle for decent gains.
We contained him the first game.
Right.
Run-wise,
and so did
not
Dallas.
Passing-wise.
Every game they've lost, Kamara has not been able to run up the middle.
Two out of 12 games.
Right. The two games. So, you know, it's a key. It's a thing. You could think, well, you know, him being able to run up the middle just adds another dimension to their offense, which is pretty dimensional anyhow.
So, did we figure that out week one? Did we know that? I wonder.
I don't know.
Or did they just not need him to run because they were just passing it?
Don't know.
But maybe they also control the clock that way, so they're not giving you a bunch of time on the field to score.
Yes, they've got the same issue to worry about as we do. I mean, they got to keep our offense off the field.
Yeah.
Nobody can stop our offense.
No. And they can score relatively quickly. I mean, you give them the ball back with 45 seconds left, they're in the end zone. No problem.
Yeah, they can do it. But one thing about Drew Brees, this has been a knock on him. It's kind of the same thing with Peyton Manning, especially during his later years, is they get their arms get tired. You know, normally this time of the year, Drew Brees is not throwing the long balls like he was at the beginning of the year.
And he's had shoulder issues also.
Yeah, there was that one year, what was it, about 3 or 4 years ago, where me and you, all year long, we were like, man, there's something wrong with Drew Brees.
Yeah, maybe.
He was just throwing bad passes, and he does not throw bad passes.
I think I had him that year in fantasy.
That would probably be right.
Although I've never picked him up again.
How's he doing this year in fantasy? Probably pretty good. Oh, I've
you
got
have him.
Yeah, he's been killing it. I forgot. He didn't
like
last
30
week,
or
though.
40 points a game.
Give me 10 points against Dallas. Come on, man. Come on.
I mean,
man.
It wasn't funny.
It was. That way, I'm in the playoffs. I don't care. I'm fighting for the bye week, which I pretty much got that wrapped up too.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's the predictions. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be this game's going to be won and lost on turnovers. If we can get our running game going, that'll be the death knell for them. You know, if Barber can do some running.
So do you run up the middle against them or you run outside?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, these guys are just good tacklers. You're not going to there's really no weakness as far as that's concerned. If you can run it up the middle, that's great. But I just can't see you having success with it for any length of time during this game.
I looked up the teams that they've played and the one with really good running back. So they played the Chargers and Adrian Peterson. And those are two where it's like top 10.
Yeah, the Chargers are those.
Or LA Rams.
But yeah, the Rams too.
So great they didn't play the Chargers. Did I say the Chargers?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, they're both in LA now, so.
Yeah, it is confusing.
Anyway, so.
But they're doing this thing with the stats now where it's, for the Rams, they're just saying LA, but the Chargers are LAC.
Oh.
And that throws me all the time. I'll see LA, and I'm like, which
one is
this?
I don't like that they have two teams in LA. Like, really, there's not another city in the United States that would take a football team? LA
is
wants
there a
two
team
of them.
That can support a football team? That's really a big question.
Can LA, though? Do they have that many football fans in LA?
They've been trying
to
get a team in.
And then they got two, and now what are they doing with it?
They had the Rams there when the Rams were really good.
Yeah. So, anyway, side tangent. Yeah. I looked up the Saints' schedule and the teams that they played with really good running backs. So, Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley were basically the two. And Dallas. Those were, it was three. Yeah. Okay. None of those running backs broke 100 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley didn't break 100 yards.
None of them. Huh. Adrian P. I mean, they contained all of them. So, I'm not optimistic for Peyton Barber. Not that he's not a good running back.
Well,
he's serviceable, but...
Yeah. You know, we're going to run him. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. But again, we're not relying on him.
Yeah, I'd say do it mainly just to run off the clock.
Yeah.
You know, just because, you know, keep Drew Brees off the field. Especially if we can win the turnover battle early.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Humphreys and Godwin. Because Humphreys, he had a good game last week. He's shown up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Godwin taking over for D-Jax.
He's not going to get the yards after catch like he normally does, Humphreys. Yes. I don't think. You know, but he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he will plow through a tackler. But these guys don't go down easy.
Yeah.
These Saints tacklers are really good.
Interesting.
So, what are your predictions? Who do you think is going to win?
I want you to say it first.
Okay. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Buccaneers are going to win. And I'm going to... say 42 to 38. 42 Bucks, 38 Saints.
I think the Bucks are going to win too.
All right.
I mean, last week
she's got a big old smile on her face.
Last week I was reluctant to pick the Bucks against the Panthers.
Yeah, I know. You picked them and you were like, man, I don't know.
I don't know about this.
How you feel about that pick now?
I'm happy. I told you guys. So score wise, you know, I don't think our score is going to be as high.
Okay.
I'm saying Bucks 32, Saints 30.
Ooh, we're both calling it close.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I think it's going to be all about turnovers. And this game is going to be all... Well, that, you know, that's considering everybody executes well. That's considering Jameis has a good game, plays decently well, and everybody plays decently well. You know, nobody craps the bed.
Yeah.
Then it's going to come down to turnovers. Their defense is better than ours. They're different. You know, they're a sturdy, tackling, fundamental defense. Whereas ours is more of a shifty, gluey, we just kind of try to get stuff done out there. But our defensive line is a lot better. Our linebackers are better.
I'm saying that our defensive line is going to really define this game.
I hope so.
Like they did the last game. I think they're going to have a big impact.
I'm just hoping it doesn't turn into a lot of them grabbing Drew Brees and throwing him down and him putting the ball in the dirt and not getting called for intentional grounding. Oh, you can trust me. You can trust me. The next podcast is going to be me complaining about how many times Drew Brees should have been called for intentional grounding.
Ralph has like a tally. He's just like writing it down furiously in a notebook whole game.
You know, it's the whole intent of the law. You know, you can technically say, oh, hey, there was a person within range, but no, he threw the ball into the dirt because he was getting ready to be sacked.
And they report their offensive lineman as eligible receiver so that he can do that.
Yeah, Molly pointed to that out. That's fascinating.
Well, you got to listen before the play. They announce it over the loudspeaker, but they don't ever tell you, oh, so-and-so is eligible.
We used to do that almost every play when Dirk Cutter was our offensive coordinator under Lovey.
Yeah.
Because we ran the ball a lot, so we would have these big jumbo packages in, which we hardly ever do now. But we would have almost every play an offensive lineman come in that was eligible.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Interesting. Okay, so that's what we got. Both of us have predicted the Bucks are going to win. Molly is 10 points down on me with my... I would take the over in this game. I mean, I think it's going to be a shootout, but...
I know, but we're not... We're making mistakes on these explosives. I think that's where people exploit us. So I think we're toning that down a little bit and getting a little more conservative with our passing game.
I'm seeing a lot of... At the beginning of the year, I was seeing a lot of open receivers that we had that we weren't hitting, and I'm not seeing that as much anymore. So I don't know if the defenders are catching on to our four verticals that we run a lot, that they're preparing for it, so we just don't have that many open receivers downfield. I don't know what the situation is, but I really like the dink and dunk we did last week, and I think that's going to be a good idea for us to do in this game just to keep Drew Brees off the field.
Well, and that's why I don't think the score is going to be as high.
That's a good point. I didn't consider that in the
morning. You know, I'm thinking about my score, though. Can a team even score 32? Like, am I banking on a safety here? A missed that's, extra point or
that's
something?
Four touchdowns and 4 2-point conversions.
We'll see. Whatever.
Or how about four touchdowns?
I love doing this one. Two safeties.
Yes. You got four touchdowns, two missed field goals, and two safeties. The two missed extra points. And then two safeties.
Okay, there we go.
Hey, but that's how it is with football, man. You get these crazy scores all the time.
You never know. You just never know.
30 points. How are you going to do that? Right. Saints are going to get 30. They're going to get 10 field goals.
It's going to be close. My point is it's super
four
close.
Touchdowns in the safety.
Yes. And maybe a missed extra point. You know what? They can make five touchdowns and miss every single one of their extra points.
It's possible.
Or they make 10 field goals, no touchdowns. So it could happen.
I guess that could happen. What's the record on most field goals per game?
I don't know.
Seems like you would know that. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. We'll have a immediate reaction video if we're not too drunk after the game. Tampa fans out there in Tampa, go to the game. I know it's supposed to be rainy and wet and all that good stuff. You know, I didn't even factor that into my prediction. Oops.
Yeah, I did. I thought of that. Just kidding. No, I didn't. That was a lie.
Well, it'll probably be closer to your score than if it's rainy.
Right.
So anyhow, go out there, support the team, go get tickets, go to the game, cheer.
Y'all are used to the rain anyway.
If you're going out to the bars, be a good fan. Don't talk crap about your team. If you want to punch a New Orleans Saints fan in the face, that's fine. Okay. That's okay. Not if they're elderly.
We support that. Small children, that's dicey. Yeah. Depends.
Women, hey, equal rights, equal lefts.
So I'm out there decking people, guys. So,
all right, let's have a good game. It's nice to see the Buccaneer fan base switch from this
fire everybody
pit of misery to this hope. I can't believe we got a 60% chance to go.
Okay,
to the
let me go over that really quick before we
just can't say bye.
We sign off. No, we can't. Okay, so
it's always something else we got to throw in there.
We need to root for the Browns beating the Panthers. Okay. Realistic. Falcons over the Packers.
Really? We need the Falcons over the Packers?
Yeah. Okay, so the Falcons are 4-8, and the Packers are 4-7-1. You can tell I made my picks this morning because I know this. Giants over Redskins. Hey, that's doable. Cowboys over Eagles. Definitely doable. Seahawks over Vikings. That's gonna be a could tough happen, game. Too.
Yeah. Seahawks playing good football. Yeah. Vikings, not so much.
And, you know, Panthers are on the road at the Browns this weekend. So, I mean, they're terrible on the road this season. They're like 1-6 now.
Yeah, the Browns are not a pushover team.
No. So, I mean, that could happen.
Yeah, and definitely Giants are going to beat up on Washington.
Yeah.
Is that at Giants or is it at Washington?
I don't remember.
I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
No. And the Falcons could beat the Packers. I mean, the Packers are dealing with all their turnover on their coaching staff. So who knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
That's a total crapshoot. And their records are similar. So who knows?
How crazy is that? Green Bay is that bad.
I know.
That's how spoiled they've gotten. They have one losing season. They're like,
fire everybody.
Yeah, I'm not mad. Right. Blow their team apart. I don't care. The only team I care about is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And that's right.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up. If you want to get in contact with us, you can reach Molly at her email address, mollybay@buccaneersobserver.com. My email address is ralph@buccaneersobserver.com. You can contact us on Twitter or just follow us. Our handle is @bucks_observer. And if you want to leave a comment, go to our website, buccaneersobserver.com. We have comment section there. You can comment on any of the articles or the podcast. Until then,
go Bucks!